Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide private adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices that are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and the mid-Michigan Saginaw region. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it truly is our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly podcast program to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community. So we are very grateful to you, our listener, for being in, being online with us today. I am excited to welcome to today's show Amber Heron, who is a mom by adoption. Welcome, Amber.
Thank you.
Today we are talking about rude adoption questions and how to handle them. And Amber, as I said, is a mom, and so she had to work even harder to be with us today because she has five children that she found care for so that she could talk with us without interruption. So, again, thank you, Amber, so much for being on today, and I'm looking forward to hearing about this topic. This particular topic is one that we haven't addressed before on the program, and we know that adoptive parents find themselves fielding a lot of questions about adoption and birth mothers, and it takes an experienced parent over time to develop an arsenal of responses, and so I'm hoping that today we'll be able to do that. But if you wouldn't mind starting off, Amber, by just talking a little bit about yourself and your family so that our listeners can understand more about you.
Sure. So as you mentioned, we have five children. All of them were parenting by adoption, and they range from 12. We have a 12-year-old, 7-year-old, 4-year-old, a 1.5-year-old, and a just turned 9-month-old. So they keep us pretty busy. I have worked previously in the foster care field prior to when we had our children. So I've seen different sides of the adoption and foster care world, in addition to as a parent. So that's kind of helped me in a lot of ways. And I'm married to my husband for almost 21 years now. So we're just a pretty busy and active family.
For sure. Yes, you are. I know that firsthand. And so we're going to get into some specifics because I know that our listeners are interested in that. But before we do that, I would like to hear from you if you have any thoughts about how someone or how you decide which questions you want or choose to answer, and then which of those that you either avoid or decide are best not to answer. How do you make that determination?
That's a great question. So there's a lot of thoughts that kind of happen in my mind really quickly in the moment. And sometimes I end up later regretting how I responded. but a lot of times I first am considering the context of the person asking and how they're approaching me. Are they approaching me saying, oh, I'm in the waiting phase of adoption, and I noticed, you know, you have children by adoption, and, you know, and then they might ask a question. And so how I'm going to approach someone like that is going to be totally different from if I'm standing in line at the cash register and the cashier says, do you do daycare? You know? It depends on I try to assess the motivation of the person asking. And if I feel like their motives line up with something positive, like they want to be educated on adoption, they need support maybe in their own adoption situation, or they want to support a family member that's involved with adoption, then I'm going to probably take more time and more thought in answering them. If it's just someone who's being nosy and curious, I'm probably just going to pretty much just shut them down.
And I assume also how you're making that decision is likely based upon which of your children are with you, or if they're with you, or,
yeah,
you know, what kind of their viewpoint is. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Right. Yeah. That was the other thing I was going to say. It depends on my kids and who's there. Because if it's some of my older kids, then, you know, I'm not going to want them to be, I want them to listen to me and see me modeling for them how they can respond when people ask them questions. Three of my kids are transracial adoptions, and so it's pretty apparent that I didn't give birth to them, and so mm-hmm. I'm more likely to have people come up to me when they're with me maybe and make that assumption rather than my kids who are the same race as me. So I definitely want to model for them the appropriate way to respond, and that it's okay to not really respond, or, you know, politely decline. Or also, you know, how much they hear, it's their story. So I don't want them to think that I'm, you know, out walking around blabbing their personal private story to just, you know, any random stranger. So
Sure. Well, that's kind of leads really nicely into my next question. Are your responses to the questions you get different when it's a family member or a friend as opposed to a complete stranger? Or does that even matter to you at all?
I think it does matter, because I'm also considering the role that the person has in my child's life. So, you know, if there's a difficult situation surrounding one of my kids' adoption story, and that situation ties into some of the things that they're currently struggling with, and I have, you know, say a grandparent or a family member that's helping to provide care or be around that child, then it's helpful for them to have some of that information and know the best way to approach the child because of maybe that difficulty. But again, a lot of times if it's somebody even in my family and it's not really necessary for them to know, I might respond, but in more generalities rather than specifics. So one of our kids had some substance exposure, and we actually did not tell even some of our parents between the two of us for right away. We kept that private for a little while, even something like that. So
It really does sound
with it.
Yeah, it sounds like a really delicate balance is what I'm hearing from you. And, you know, we hear from some parents who struggle with really wanting to educate others about adoption and address some of the misconceptions that we do know exist. And also at the same time, trying to find a way to maintain the privacy of their child's story. And so that can become a really fine line. To what extent do you educate about adoption, and where is your line? Where do you draw the line to preserve your child's privacy?
That's a really great question. Again, part of it goes to who I'm talking to. But the majority of people, we do not share information that's really private, such as circumstances surrounding the birth parents and their situation that led them to choosing to place. Because that's actually not even, you know, we don't even know a lot of that information because it belongs to the birth family. And so we choose to kind of just deflect and turn it into, you know, they have a, this birth parent was facing a lot of difficulties, and really she made a really loving choice based on the support she has in her life. You know, or just something more general like that, but that still is addressing the difficulties that are there. And as far as educating others, you know, we can still educate even situations that we maybe don't have in our family, or we can educate on those issues without going into details about our children and their stories and their adoption situations. So we kind of tend to go about it that way.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense to me. How much of this do you discuss with your children? And what I guess what I'm referring to is when you are in public and someone asks a question, regardless of how you choose to answer it, do you later kind of have a debriefing of sorts or a conversation with your child about what it was that what occurred, or maybe why that question was asked or how you chose to answer it? Do you ever do anything like that with your kids?
You know, I haven't had a ton of comments when my kids, my older kids, been with me. It seems like maybe because people think they're younger toddlers or babies and they don't really understand what's going on, and so they feel like it's okay to say something in those situations. But if I had like my 7-year-old, I don't tend to get comments as much. So I haven't had a lot of situations where that would apply. However, there have been times when I've been out in public with particularly my 7-year-old daughter, because she's one that's not the same race as myself. And there may be, you know, like say she runs off from me in the store or something. She's, you know, full of life and energy. And I will later talk with her, you know that you belong with me because we're a family and, you know, I'm your mommy, but also, you also know we don't match. And so because we don't match on the outside, people might not realize that you're my daughter. And so when you run away from me like that, it can be especially dangerous because people aren't going to realize that I'm your mama. So I have conversations like that with her.
Nice. I'm hoping to do something here a little bit fun. So I was wanting to do a little bit of role play because I have some questions here that we have heard from other parents that have been asked of them, and that we know, believe it or not, some of those that are listening may be really surprised at the nature of these questions, but these are true real life questions that adoptive parents have been asked. And so I thought it would be nice to do a little bit of role play here with you, Amber, and pose these questions to you and just get your thoughts about how you would answer it, or, you know, even talk through different options to answer these questions. And so I believe I have about 8 total. So we'll start with the first one. Did you get him from foster care, or are you his foster parents?
No. That's usually where I leave it.
Okay. Second one, where's his real mom and why didn't she keep him?
Well, I'm his real mom. His birth mom had her reasons for placing him, and it was what she thought was best for him. I pretty much just leave it at that. I might not even go that much into it. It depends on how the person's asking.
Mm-hmm. Right, because that one in particular, particularly depending on the age of the child that's with you, that could be very hurtful for a child to.
Right. And like when I answer it, a lot of times I try to take whatever language that they've used that's inaccurate or uneducated and plug that into my answer. So instead of saying real parent, I'm going to say birth parent or birth family. Or, you know, why did she give him up? I'm going to say she placed him in my response to kind of correct that language.
Okay. Kind of some continuing of the same line of thought here. Are you worried his birth parents will come and take him back?
No. And if it's somebody who seems like they're genuinely interested, then I will go into, I'll say something like, no, actually, we have a really positive relationship with his birth family, and we have an open adoption, and it's just a really great situation. So we actually have contact with her all the time, so that's not a concern.
Nice. I know, I think that your husband told me that you guys were asked this one at one point. Where is he from?
This one we get all the time. I actually just got this in the last week, I think. And usually we'd say, he was born in Detroit or wherever, right. You know, they were born.
Because what we think that they're expecting it. Is, like, some international country or, like, that's what
right.
is that what we think that the questioner is headed at?
Mm-hmm. Yes, usually they think it's an international situation.
And this next question, actually, we hear from families that doesn't just necessarily come from strangers. It actually oftentimes comes from people within their family and also not just in transracial adoption, but someone who knows that they adopted this child. How much did she cost?
Yeah, that is true. Nothing. Actually, we just had this commented by a relative actually on a post on Facebook, and John
oh,
and I
wow.
both jumped on and like responded to her. Because we were posting about they might make the adoption tax credit refundable again. They're putting that back up. Bill in Congress. So we posted about that, and so someone had commented in our family about this. So I would usually just say, you know, well, you're not paying for a child. There's services that are being provided, and so just like, you know, you want to get paid for your job when a social worker is spending her time writing up your report or coming to your house and things, she needs to be compensated for that time. So, you know, the fees are related to things like the worker's time, legal services, things like that. But you
nice.
Can go on to, and then I might refer them to Adoption Associates website and say, you know, all the fees are broken down for you to see for yourself. I would do that for sure if someone's actually interested in pursuing adoption themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's somebody who's just being nosy, then I'm not going to go into all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so next one. Do you want to have children of your own?
Well, they are my children. They're real, and they are mine. So I have 5, and I really am good with 5 right now. So
right.
I don't think I need any more.
Yeah, and so for anybody who happens to be tuning in at this exact moment, I just realized that would sound really like something that the –
Yeah,
that I am asking you this really rude and inappropriate
well,
question.
People might
so.
Say, did you ever want children of your own? They might say mm-hmm. it that way, like not that you want another child. And I mean, again, if it's somebody who's coming to me and they're confiding, like they're wrestling with infertility or something like that, then I'm going to be more open in sharing part of my story of how, you know, adoption came about for us. But it was on our hearts
mm-hmm.
all along anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So for any listeners who maybe are just tuning in and joining us, we are talking with Amber Heron about root adoption questions and how to handle them. And we are rounding out with our last two kind of role play questions here. And Amber's giving us some of her thoughts about how she would answer these questions. And so I've got 2 left here to go. And this would be in reference to your children. And you've already said that you have 5 children that you're parenting. And the question that we hear is, are they real siblings?
They fight like real siblings. they are definitely real siblings. They live together and they're brother and sister. So I do have 2 that are biologically connected as well as being raised together, but they're all real siblings.
Nice. And then this last one is kind of back in the mindset of birth parents and their voluntary decision to make an adoption plan for their baby. And so we would hear a question along the lines of, how could anyone give up such a beautiful baby?
Well, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into a woman's decision, and we don't see it as the baby was given up. We see it as she made a loving choice for what she thought would be best for this child. And we're just so thankful that she chose life, because a lot of women in our culture are pressured not to choose life. And so we're just so thankful that she chose life and is giving us an opportunity to raise this amazing, beautiful kid.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for those. What about, Amber, any tips to parents or what you would want them to remember in the moment that they're facing one of these types of questions. Because, you know, I think we hear a lot the first few times, maybe even more than the first few times, that someone asks a question of this nature. Not only is it very off-putting, but it catches you off guard. And so in that moment, what would you really want to say to couples that you would want them to remember as they're facing that question?
Yeah, it does catch you off guard. And even, you know, now, like I said, my oldest is almost 13. I've been in some ways fielding it for that long. So, and it still catches me off guard sometimes, because a lot of times it's in the most unlikely places, like, you know, the cereal aisle or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So it does catch you off guard. And so expect that that's going to just kind of always be a dynamic that's there. The other thing is, it's okay to not share. I think, you know, I think I hear this from some other adoptive parents as well, that when you're first kind of finding your way, you don't want to be rude, and, you know, you're real passionate about adoption, and so you want everybody to know about it, and that's all good, but it's okay to have boundaries in this situation, and it's okay, you know, to be rude sometimes, because honestly, a lot of times the person who's asking you is the one who's really being rude, and so it's okay to just keep it simple and then walk away. You do not have to answer those questions. You can just say, I'm not going to answer that, or, you know, I don't really know you, and it's not really appropriate for me to share, you know, or that's my child's private story, so we really just don't share that. So, you know, I just think that it's okay to say no or to put up those boundaries. You know, when we first started fielding these questions, I look back and I think I probably did overshare, and I made that mistake. And I, like I said, I think several adoptive parents would say the same, because you're kind of finding your way. And then later you kind of look back and go, oh, why did I do that? I don't want to do that. So it's something that you kind of have to find your comfort level with and figure it out kind of as you go. But like the biggest thing, like I said, you know, I think a year ago, I was checking out at the store, and I only had two of my kids with me. And of course, one of them was one that's not the same race as me. And the cashier was just like, you know, do you do daycare? And it was just, we were waiting for the manager's approval. So like, we weren't really having conversation. She was just like being nosy. She wasn't asking, you know, because she's passionate about adoption or wanted to be educated about it. So I just said no, and I left it at that. And I was fine with that, because guess what? It's none of her business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to say, no, we don't. Actually, all my kids are adopted, and here's how, you know, they came to me. And, you know, I don't need to go into all that. So it's okay to not share all that. And you probably will feel better later if you undershare than if you overshare.
I think that's a really great point, and I really appreciate the direction that you're headed in this part of our conversation, because I do see that newer adoptive parents, they are so excited and they want to share with the world, but once you put that information out there, you can't get it back. You can't, and we hear from people, even within their own families, who share details early on and then worry about betraying their child's privacy and worry that the information they shared will later come back in a way that's not positive. So I think you've given some really great ideas there and thoughts about looking back on it, having regrets in undersharing being a better goal than oversharing. I think that's very well said, Amber.
And I just one more thing,
please,
on that
yes.
too, as I'm listening to you. You know, when you're sharing with family, because you're more likely to share with your family, but some of these difficulties are things that you cannot discuss with your child yet, because they're not at an age to understand. Like, you know, say there's an unknown birth father. You can't have that discussion with, you know, a three-year-old. You can kind of say, well, we don't really know, you know, and you can do it that way, but to actually go into the details of how they were conceived, you're not going to do that at the younger age. And so you want to be careful too, because the last thing you want, because some of these situations are incredibly difficult, and it's going to be very difficult information when you share with your child, which you have to share with your child at some point. You cannot keep it from them. but you don't want some aunt who heard through somebody else telling your child, you know, you were conceived by rape, or you were conceived, you know, when your mom was high, or, you know, things like that. So this is another thought on this whole topic of oversharing. You just want to be very mm-hmm. careful, because you're protecting your child and their story and how they're going to find out some of these hard things too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Excellent. And I think what we're saying here is that the parent is the protector or keeper of the child's story, but the child is the one who owns that story. But because they are too young yet to fully know it or understand it, the parent therefore has to keep it and protect it. And the way you keep it and protect it is not by sharing it.
Right.
Exactly. So rounding out, we're kind of sort of approaching the end of the podcast here, but what non-adoptive parents should know about the questions that they ask and the potential impact of those questions? I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. You know, in a perfect world, we sit down all the non-adoptive parents of the world and say, hey, listen, when you ask these questions, here's how it impacts us as parents, and here's how it impacts our children. And, you know, this is why we wish you wouldn't do that. Do you want to just maybe talk about that for a minute?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things, and even with adoption education prior to our first adoption, it still caught me off guard at first, is, you know, adoption is, it is a beautiful thing. There is a lot of joy. You know, like I said, it's a great situation because that birth mom's choosing life over other alternatives, and all that's really good, but it is really full of loss and a lot of difficult emotions for everyone in the triad. The birth parent obviously is having huge loss. The child is having huge loss that they didn't even get a choice in. And then the adoptive parents have their same loss that they're dealing with, whether it be infertility or the loss of, you know, that they didn't carry that child as a pregnancy, or loss of information to be able to give to the child. There's so much difficult emotions involved in adoption. And I think when you are on the outside and you're not involved in adoption on a closer level, and you just see like Lifetime movies or whatever, or the positive adoption stories, which I'm all about that, and I think that's great, but you lose sight of and don't stop to think about all the difficult emotions that are involved for everyone in the situation. And so it's sort of like you wouldn't just go up to somebody who experienced a death in their family and just like casually ask them a question about that. You would be very delicate and loving in how you would approach them in discussing, you know, their loved one who recently passed away. And this loss is on that same level, especially for the birth parent and especially for the child. And so, you know, the other thing I'm thinking is you never know who is a birth parent. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we've had a lot of people that have later come to us and told us, I placed my child this many, you know, but you would never know because there's so many, it is private. So you just
right.
have to be extremely delicate and sensitive. And if you're asking because you're interested in learning, then you need to, first of all, start educating yourself on your own time through books and webinars and things like that. But when you come to somebody, you need to find a way to include that in your conversation before you start to ask questions, so that the person can be most helpful to what it is you're wanting to learn about adoption.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow, Amber, thank you. This was such a great podcast and such a tremendous amount of information that we covered very quickly. I appreciate you so very much. And for those of you that are listening, if you're interested in connecting with Adoption Associates or potentially with Amber, we would love to hear from you at 800-677-2367. Again, Adoption Associates provide services throughout all of Michigan. We do continue our Adoption Focus podcast series on Tuesdays, a couple of Tuesdays every month, and you can continue to find that information on Adoption Associates' Facebook page. Other ways to connect with the agency would be through our website at adoptionassociates.net, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. Amber, much appreciation to you for today and for this fantastic information that you provided.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope you all have a great day. Bye-bye.